Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Andy Clark, the author of the new book, The Experience Machine. I highly recommend it, because it makes it very clear that everything you have, everything you are, including your iPhone, including your text messaging with mom, all of that is your mind. That is how you are predicting and correcting the errors that you make, if I follow the professor's language. So we come to the tools that we have, similar to what an orangutan named Migo uses when crossing a river, or when someone who is new to New York uses when finding the Museum of Modern Art. Let's start with Migo. Migo is an orangutan with a skill set, and he has a mind, clearly. What is the skill set, and what do we make of it, Professor?
Yeah, so the Migo case is a cool one, I think. It's an orangutan, Migo, and other orangutans do this too, but Migo is a kind of poster child. When the orangutan approaches a river, it grabs a nice long stick, and it uses the stick to probe the depth of the water before venturing into the river, because if it's too deep or the current's too strong, not a good idea to try to cross right now. So what Migo's doing here in predictive processing terms, the account pursued in the book, is taking action in the world to try to reduce their own uncertainty about what's going to happen next. So it's all tied into the idea they're busy predicting what's going to happen next, but there are uncertainties there, and they need to get rid of them by, in this case, sticking the stick into the water. We do things like that too. You know, if I want to go to the cinema tonight to see a particular movie, I'll probably fire up the internet to work out, when the movie's showing and where it's showing. That's me taking a kind of action, very much like Migo with the stick. I think any animal whose brain has a time horizon, that's to say it can look a little bit into the future, can kind of be asking itself, what action can I take to reduce my uncertainties, to reduce my errors as I try to approach my goals? And this sort of brings simple actions like Migos and more complex ones like all the things we do with our iPhones, or indeed things we sometimes do with other people or other animals, into a single framework. We're predicting where the good information is and taking action to get it.
How powerful is our prediction, precision, error-searching mind? There's an example the professor gives. I believe it was wartime Italy. A nurse ran out of the ability to give morphine to soldiers. She was out of it. So instead, she gave saline solution and didn't tell them. What was the results, Professor, and what does that tell us about the brain?
Yeah, this is sort of the among the origins of our understanding of the so-called placebo response. What the nurse discovered was that in patients that knew to expect relief from an administration of morphine, if you didn't have morphine to give them, you could give them an inert substance and they would experience relief, genuine pain relief. This, of course, so-called dose-extending placebo is a very, very useful thing, particularly in wartime, could be useful at other times too. So it was part of sort of understanding that if we install the right predictions, we can actually affect the way that we experience pain. And this has been shown in multiple other experiments. It's also interesting to me that it shows something else too, which is that even when you tell people that they're going to be given a placebo, you can still get elements of the placebo response. And that suggests that it's not our conscious predictions that this is all about. It's deeper stuff that's been ingrained into our sort of habitual expectations.
The brain is so powerful. I begin to think that we could cure ourselves, but you have a hesitation on that that you make very clear. We're not talking about curing major diseases such as cancer. We're talking about tactics to deal with the immediate threat to your well-being.
Yes, I think that's right. So, you know, the effects that I'm looking at in the book are pretty strong for things like cancer-related fatigue, They're strong for experiences of pain. They can be strong for the sort of disability associated with certain kinds of long-term chronic pain. By changing expectations, it seems you can actually change these experiences. But of course, what you can't do is you're not going to cure a cancer or kill a virus just by changing your expectations. So there are pretty clear limits on the scope of these effects. At the same time, I think they are ripe for exploitation. We now have a kind of systematic science that explains these effects. And so I think that there's no reason not to rely on them a bit more than we do.
There's inward directing information gathering, outward directing information gathering. Yeah. Do we gather information from our bodies when we're thinking? Is that part of our... Sometimes I feel extremely relaxed. That would be in the morning. I get up very early to read. Is that what I'm doing, Professor? I'm asking my body at the maximum authority of the day when I'm freshly awake to help me think. Is that the predictive brain?
I think it could be. It certainly could be. That's an interesting case again. As I mentioned with those cases where they changed people's perception of their own heartbeat, giving them a false perception that it was going faster. Similarly, if you gave someone a false perception that it was going slower, they would throw that into the sort of machine that predicts how they're going to be able to respond and behave. And they might find themselves feeling a bit more tranquil, being able to deal with tricky situations a little bit better. So it could well be that the kind of the expectations of morning response actually play a role in addition to the role that is played by just having had a good sleep.
The prediction machine, the predictive machinery, always processing, always looking for error correction. I begin to think, just here in our final 30 seconds, it's like getting hungry and you feed it with information. Is that a fair metaphor? You're curious and you're feeding yourself.
I think that's right. Predictive brains are information foraging brains. They just love to be fed with stuff that will minimize errors in prediction. So, yeah, we are informivores, if you like, constantly on the lookout for improving our state of information.
I congratulate Professor Andy Clark, Professor of Cognitive Philosophy at the University of Sussex. The new book is The Experience Machine, How Our Minds Predict and Shape Reality. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.